At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
People, what is the most morally questionable thing you've ever done but would never admit to in real life? My first living girlfriend made out with a random guy at a party. I was devastated. So, after some plotting, I figured out what to do. First, I managed to take a picture with her sticking out her tongue. Easy, stuck my tongue out at her. She did the same and took the photo. Then I got the picture developed and every morning would use it to play with my joystick and proceed to pour my smoothie into her liquid coffee creamer. French vanilla. I was, and probably still, am mostly retarded. I thought that her drinking my French vanilla smoothie every day would make her love me. So, that goes on daily for quite a while. I would throw the bottle away when it was around half full so that it wasn't like 30/70 smoothie/creamer and replace it. I eventually cheated on her with her sister and married her sister. Still married 9 years next April. My sister-in-law didn't hang out for the first 3 years of our marriage, but she's cool now and I see her pretty frequently and I am reminded of my voodoo smoothie wizardry frequently. I may not be the smartest person, but I still feel a bit guilty about it. Story 2. I was at a party with some morally questionable friends, got really drunk, and by the end of the night, I was about to hook up with my friend with benefits. Unfortunately, I didn't have a protection, but another friend had offered me one earlier. So, before having doing it, I went to find the girl who had the rubber. Turns out, she was already in the middle of hooking up with a guy, clothes off, foreplay done, just about to get started. I walked in, asked for the rubber, and, without hesitation, walked in front of the guy to take his place. I ended up pounding her for about 10 minutes, finished, grabbed another rubber, and then went back to the first girl. At some point, I blacked out, and later I was told that I was with her in the living room, loud and going at it for over an hour before passing out. That was my ultimate love block. The guy was a huge pushover, which is why he didn't stop me. After I left, she cried, feeling bad about it, and he didn't get anything that night. Love blocked a guy at a party by stepping in front of him and hooking up with the girl right before he was about to, all while very drunk. Story 3. If you know someone who was cremated, you might want to avoid reading this. When I was 18, I worked at the Humane Society as a euthanasia tech, which meant I was responsible for putting down dogs when it was requested by the owner or due to illness, never for space reasons like in some shelters. We also had a kiln to cremate the animals, so we could return their ashes to the owners. One day, I arrived at work and noticed my boss talking to someone in her office. I didn't think much of it and just went about my day, cleaning kennels, feeding the dogs, and so on. A little while later, my boss came up to me and said she needed a huge favor. She assured me that if I felt uncomfortable, I could say no, and she wouldn't bring it up again. It turns out the man she was speaking to was from a local funeral home, and they had lost the ashes of a deceased person. They needed to deliver them within the hour, so my boss asked if I could take some leftover animal ashes, approximate the amount for a human, and bag them up for him to deliver. I agreed. I made sure to grind the ashes finely, just in case the family looked inside the bag and found a dog tooth or something else unexpected. I bagged the ashes and handed them over to the man. No one else knew about it except for my boss, the funeral home guy, and me. I just hope the family never finds out. Story 4. I had a long-distance relationship with a girl. I met a different random girl on Tinder and flirted with her all day one weekend. After dinner one night with friends, I was a little tipsy and bored. She was about 40 miles away, so I took the opportunity to invite myself over somewhere within the Tinder conversation. I just used the simple technique of presenting a sense of me needing her in my life through the flirting, and then when I said, "Wish you were here," in a Snapchat with a picture of my bed, and she said, "I get a car in December." I said, "Well, I guess I do have a car now," and it went smoothly from there. She said she'd normally never do that with a guy, but it was okay since I seemed genuine and had been exchanging pictures with her. I drove for almost 1 hour or so to get there, and it's this dorm room type apartment thing in the middle of no frigging where. All her roommates were moving in the next day, so it was just us there. We talked for a little while, and I faked genuine interest in whatever she had to say. No alcohol was even involved, and she starts spewing all kinds of personal information about herself, like how she is on academic probation for a 1.1 GPA, what the F, and had severe depression. Anyways, just trying to bury that in the back of my head, I make a move and make out with her. This leads us to moving to her bed, where we start to get comfortable. Mind you, she was pretty chubby, so the jugs were extra fat. The whole time, she kept saying that we weren't going to sleep together and wouldn't let me use my hands or face it first. It was all part of her BS, no sleeping on the first date thing, probably tied to her low self-confidence and lack of experience in this kind of situation. But this wasn't my first frigging rodeo, so I knew how to play the nice guy card. I agreed, sticking to jugs, focusing on the soft spots. I kept up the dirty talk until she was fully into it and asked me to take it further. We did, then spent some time cuddling afterward. I told her, "Okay, but I need to grab my contact solution and a t-shirt I left in my car." She agreed and gave me her key card to get back in. I found it, said "got it," but just left it there. I grabbed my stuff and made a quick exit. While I was running to my car, she was left lying in her bed, naked, with semi-cleaned up mess all over her. I couldn't help but wonder how long it would take her to notice. Before I left, I made sure to block her on everything. Tinder, Facebook, Snapchat, texts, phone calls, anything that could connect us. I drove off into the night, and about an hour later, I was home by 4 a.m. I hit a fat bong, sat back, and thought about whether or not I should share this on Reddit. I didn't at the time, but here I am now. The whole experience made me realize how easy it can be to manipulate people by playing the role of the nice guy, getting what you want, and then turning around and betraying them once you've achieved your goal. Caveat emptor. Carpe diem, I guess. Maybe one day I'll have a daughter, just to balance out the karma. I cheated on my girlfriend using Tinder. Led a girl to believe we could have a relationship, slept with her, then ghosted her completely. Blocked all contact so I wouldn't hear from her again, no matter how hard she tried to reach out. Story 5. I steal women's innards. It started when I was 18, when I was at my best friend's house, staying over the night. I was drunk and high, and a little excited. Later in the night, I got up to go to the bathroom while he was asleep, and remembered his sister had just went back to college that afternoon. She was back every weekend. I snuck into her room across the hall, and quickly found her drawer and started examining the assortment of innards in front of me. Prior to this point, I didn't have any apparent or recognizable interest in that before, but for some reason, the thought of holding her innards in my hands was so hot. I imagined her in these innards that would caress the curves of her body. I grabbed 3 pairs and went to town with them, spraying in one and leaving it at the bottom of her laundry pile. The next time I was over, I found myself going through the drawer again, despite being sober. My heart was beating fast, my dong was throbbing. There was a new assortment this time. There was this one that caught my eye. I don't know what it was about that pair, but I knew I must have it, so after doing my thing with them, I pocketed them instead of returning them to their rightful drawer. After a few visits, I discovered the treasure trove of her laundry hamper, making my sessions all the more incredible. Over the course of the next few months, I nicked a total of 4 pairs from my best friend's older sister. There was this crazy rush in the moment, but I often regretted it the next day. I often told myself I'd return them next time I was staying over. I even brought them with me once, but in the end, I couldn't do it. It was like Frodo trying to keep the ring at the end of Rot K. The problem persists now in college. I don't go through hampers or drawers. I have kept a pair from a one-night stand on a couple of occasions, but it's when I do laundry that I have to fight the urge to scrounge through the pile of clothes that a-hole students drop onto the tables when they need a machine. It's hard to do it because it'd be so easy to get caught, yet so hard to explain. However, it's frighteningly easy to do in the night, when I often remember to do laundry. In the course of this year, I've somehow managed to accumulate some 33 new pairs, and the best part is that I actually know who most of them belong to. I can't explain why I like it so much. It just is so hot. But yeah, the whole stealing itself is morally questionable. The innards take it up a bit. It's almost compulsive. Story 6. I'm 22, and this is the one thing in my life that I truly regret. It all happened last summer when I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. To say I was thrilled to be single would be an understatement. I fully embraced the no commitments, just have fun mindset, thinking it was my time to let loose and be wild. I'm a lesbian, and I met another lesbian through friends at a 4th of July party. We definitely had chemistry, but she told me she had a girlfriend. We started texting occasionally, always her initiating. And while it was flirty, she mentioned her girlfriend a lot. I wasn't trying to pursue her, though. Soon after, we all hung out with our mutual friends at a bar, and after a few drinks, we hooked up. Then we hooked up the next night. And for the next few weeks after that, I still don't know why I even did it. It's not like I was super attracted to her, but I think it was the first real attention I'd received since becoming...
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Single. And I convinced myself that it wasn't me in the relationship. It gets worse. A few weeks later, I went to a concert with a small group of people, and that girl and her girlfriend were there. I had banged the girl the night before. You'd think I'd feel guilty being around her girlfriend, but I didn't. In fact, we subtly flirted right in front of her. And it felt kind of fun. Afterward, we all went to a house party. The girl I had been hooking up with was completely wasted and passed out hard in a spare room. A few hours later, it was 3 a.m., and the only people still awake were me, her girlfriend, and my friend, so we decided to walk to my friend's house to crash. The girlfriend seemed cool, and honestly, she was hot. I started feeling attracted to her, which was confusing, especially since I had been involved with her girlfriend. At first, I thought maybe I was just imagining things because I was drunk, but the flirting continued. I couldn't deny that I was enjoying the attention. My friend went to bed, leaving me and the girlfriend to sleep on the couches. This is where things get fuzzy. Eventually, the girlfriend came over to my couch, and we hooked up. We woke up cuddling, and I was completely confused. Instead of freaking out, she told me how attractive she thought I was and admitted that she had been feeling threatened by her girlfriend hanging out with me. At that point, I panicked and left to go home, questioning my own identity. The girlfriend later managed to get my number, and a few days after that, she messaged me again. I hate to admit that I continued to sleep with her for another 2 weeks. Both of these girls were cheating on each other with me, at the same time. They'd both text me, probably even while they were with each other. At times, I did feel a sick satisfaction in it, but most of the time, I just felt like I didn't even know who I was anymore. Eventually, I ended it and stopped responding to both of them cold turkey. At the time, I felt like I had experienced the weirdest thing ever, but looking back, I know I should have never gone along with it. I learned that you really are the company you keep, and by the end of it, I felt like a terrible person. Even now, when I think about it, my skin crawls. Edit. This all started in July and went on until the end of August. They had started dating in May and are about to celebrate their one-year anniversary. I haven't talked to either of them since September, but I still get the occasional drunk text from both. Story 7. My family was really poor. I was shopping at the local Safeway, and this rude and snobby bitch was making my life miserable. I don't remember the details anymore, like 22 years ago, but I remember how pissed off I was at her when I was waiting for my ride to bring around the car. This woman just left her shopping cart piled high with goodies right next to me while she waddled to her minivan. When my ride pulled up, he asked if both carts were mine. I didn't consider it, but I said yes without thinking. I never packed a trunk so fast. Must have been $400 in groceries in addition to my normal budget of $80 of food for a week. I got home and my wife was stunned. "Where did you get the money for a whole roast?" I confessed to her. She was shocked, but we ended up having a pretty good Christmas that year. Edit. Well, what she did to me was run her cart into my leg and smile, claim I was at fault, and then later she cut in line in front of me with all her stuff, wrote a check. And there was some issue with that where she screamed at the cashier or something. I really can't remember. Then she accused me of looking at her in some lascivious manner. She was this really fat, snobby, old Dolores Umbridge kind of woman in a fancy polyester suit. I was so pissed at her wealthy boxed wine drinking existence, I just snapped. I am not proud of what I did, no matter how poor I was. It was wrong. I just got swept up in my own poor existence near Christmas. Story 8. I had to make the incredibly difficult decision to put my dog down. He attacked our other dog and caused some serious injuries. A couple of weeks later, it happened again, and this time we were there to witness it. The victim dog didn't provoke him at all, but the aggressor was determined to hurt him. We yelled. We hit him, but nothing stopped him, so I had to physically intervene and hold him firmly until he let go. My wife was pregnant at the time, and I couldn't risk this happening again when I wasn't around. I was overwhelmed with emotion as I loaded him into the truck and drove to a secluded spot. When he was sniffing a tree, I offed him with a bullet. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. He had been my best friend. He slept next to me every night and kept me company every day. It happened years ago, but I still carry guilt over it. Story 9. I bang my TA for AC dash. Back in university, I was failing a pointless elective course I didn't care about at all. It was a psychology class, and I was a computer science major. It was my final year, and I didn't want a bad grade on my otherwise perfect transcript, nor did I want to retake this garbage class. So, I decided to go to my TA's late office hours to try and talk my way out of this mess, hoping for a pity pass or maybe some extra work to save my grade. Now, my TA wasn't exactly the most attractive woman. She was smelly and quite overweight. It was late, and we were the only ones in her tiny office. I was sitting there, trying to cry and give my best speech. Here's a quick version of our conversation. My TA started by saying, "I've seen you only a few times in my tutorials, and you missed the midterm. What's going on?" I gave some excuse like, "Well, my cat was pregnant, and no one knew who the father was," or something else equally ridiculous. She responded, "Well, you do understand that I can't make an exception for you because it wouldn't be fair to the other students." I explained, "I get it, but I'm not even a psych major. I'm just trying to pass this elective. I'm graduating and already have jobs lined up." Then, out of nowhere, she said, "Tell you what, rail me up real good, and I'll bump your assignments and midterms to AB. What the heck?" She didn't beat around the bush, straight to the point. I thought, well, might as well have a crazy story to tell later. In the end, she gave me a C dash. Story 10. On the night I was going to ask my ex-girlfriend to marry me, she dumped me for a guy she had dated when she was in high school. The next week I invited her twin sister out for some drinks, and we proceeded to sleep together. When I was 19, I started dating my ex. Let's call her Carol. She was 2 years older than me. One of the first things she told me when we met was that she had an identical twin. We dated for about a year, but I never met her twin because she was away at college. When she and Carol graduated, they moved into an apartment together. Over the next few months, I'd visit and sometimes stay the night, getting to know her twin, let's call her Casey, on a friendly level, though we never became particularly close. Almost every time I stayed over, Carol and Casey would argue over the smallest things. After these fights, Carol would storm off, saying she needed to be alone, either calling her mom or running an errand. If I offered to go with her, she'd refuse. I later found out she was actually calling or meeting up with an ex-boyfriend. At the time, I thought Carol and I were growing closer. There were no obvious signs of cheating, though hindsight is 20/20. We talked about marriage, kids, and building a life together. I took it as a sign to buy a ring. I planned the proposal at the coffee shop where we first met. With the ring in my pocket, I was ready, until she told me she needed to talk. She admitted she had been seeing her ex again and wanted a break to figure out if he was the right choice. I told her I couldn't do that, especially after all the serious conversations we'd had. She suggested we take a few days to think things over, and in my shock, I agreed. That night, she texted me to say she had chosen him. I never responded. Word got out, and people started reaching out to check on me, including Casey. Eventually, I called Casey, figuring she'd understand better than anyone. We met at a small bar near a house I was house-sitting. Over drinks, we vented about Carol. Casey mentioned that Carol had already decided to move in with her ex. That hit me hard. I teared up and, without thinking, said something like, "Damn, I could just kiss you right now to make myself feel better." And she did. We talked for hours. Eventually, I invited her back to the house. A few glasses of wine, some time in the hot tub, and one kiss led to another. Story 11. Is this morally questionable? About 9 years ago, I bought a top-of-the-line laptop from Best Buy along with their accidental coverage insurance. 2 years later, I legitimately dropped the laptop, and they replaced it with a model of similar specs, which, since technology had advanced, meant I got a brand new top-tier laptop for free. I repurchased the same accidental insurance. Since then, every 2 years, I've been accidentally dropping my laptop and getting a brand new one for just $100. Story 12. Every day after work, I used my coworker's private bathroom and left a surprise, never flushing. She eventually installed a new lock and handle, even a padlock. But that didn't stop me. I picked the lock daily and continued my ritual. After 2 to 3 months, she finally snapped, going on a full-blown tirade during a company meeting about someone repeatedly defiling her office bathroom. Our CEO fired her on the spot. Edit. She was an awful person, firing people just because she didn't like them or disapproved of how they dressed. Absolute scum of the earth. Story 13. This might not be the worst thing ever, but I did feel guilty about it for a while. I work in support services at an elementary school, dealing with behavioral issues. One particularly stressful day, I had a first grader in my office because she was being so disruptive that keeping her in class wasn't an option. She was normally well-behaved, so I knew she was just seeking attention. But after an hour of her refusing to talk to me, I was getting more frustrated than usual. Then, another first grader came in to offer me one of her leftover birthday cupcakes. As she was leaving, she asked if she should leave one for the other student. Without thinking, I told her that the disruptive student didn't deserve a cupcake. The birthday girl nodded and went on her way. Meanwhile, the behavior issue girl was visibly displeased. Feeling particularly spiteful in the moment, I made a show of unwrapping the cupcake, locking eyes with her as I slowly licked my lips. Now, this was a tiny baked by Melissa mini cupcake, something I could have eaten in one bite. But instead, I stretched it out to five, slow, bites, maintaining eye contact the entire time. She cried. It was worth it, but in retrospect was probably a little unnecessary. Story 14. A rude boomer Karen came into the subway where I worked and treated me terribly for no reason. Well, it turns out, she was alone in the store, and I happened to have chronic post-nasal drip, which makes it easy for me to produce a loogie. As she turned her head, I took advantage of the opportunity and dropped a big one in her tuna sandwich. Yes, I remember it was tuna because this is the only time I've ever messed with someone's food. I covered it up with the dressing she asked for, and watching her walk out with that tanuji sandwich brought a little joy to my eye. I'm not defending my actions, but I do think it's a reminder to be kind to the people handling your food, even if they're in plain sight. It only takes a second for someone to do something to your meal, all while smiling at you. Story 15. There was this girl in my area whose family owns a really well-known and high-quality restaurant, and she started showing some interest in me. We would talk here and there, and I'd end up going to the restaurant a lot. Honestly, I had no real interest in her romantically at all, but the food they served there was incredible. So, I would chat with her when I could, and every time I visited, I somehow ended up getting free meals. I mean, who wouldn't want to take advantage of that? So, I found myself going there more often than I probably should have, not for her, but for the free food and the chance to enjoy some of the best meals in the area. I kept it friendly, but she definitely thought there was more going on than just a love for the restaurant's menu. Story 16. I used to bartend at a sports bar, and there was this group of tap-out wearing, arrogant regulars who were just awful customers. They'd get handsy with the waitresses, run up huge tabs, like $150 plus, and always complain about the charges. And of course, they'd never leave a tip. Complete jerks. One night, a couple of them came in around midnight on a Sunday. It had been snowing heavily, so the bar was pretty much dead. These guys started acting like they were better than me, talking down to me like I was just the help. I decided I'd had enough. So, I started feeding them huff and puff shots, Grand Marnier and Drambuie, telling them they were on the house because you guys are my best customers. I figured they could handle their booze, but these guys were clearly not used to this much alcohol. They cranked the heat up to the max and were barely able to stand by last call. When it was time to close, I told them I was calling a cab for them, but I wasn't done yet. I called the cops instead, gave them the description of the truck and its tag number, and told dispatch they were parked in the bar lot. I went back to them, telling them the cab wouldn't be there for another half hour. Of course, they were having none of it and decided to leave anyway, piling into the truck. They were literally just backing out of the parking spot when the police showed up. The cop walks up to the truck, and the driver, in his brilliant state, blows cigarette smoke in the cop's face. Big mistake. The cop immediately yanks him out of the truck, and the buddy, thinking he's a hero, decides to throw a couple of drunk haymakers. Except he's 5 yards away from the officer, and it's icy as hell. He slips and crashes to the ground, making himself an even bigger target. Both of them got arrested, and the driver now takes a bicycle to work instead of a truck. Story 17. I've been living with my girlfriend for 2.5 years, mostly because I needed a roommate to help cover the rent. I wanted a place big enough to set up a small recording studio, and she was just there. She's completely head over heels for me, but I honestly don't feel the same way at all. I've cheated on her 5 times, and I've only told her about the first 2. She told me she didn't want to know about the rest, so I've kept it to myself. From the beginning, I made it clear I wouldn't feel anything for her. I have some diagnosed and medicated brain disorders that make it difficult, if not impossible, for me to form those feelings, and I was upfront about it. The lease is up in August, and I'm moving out then. She's a terrible roommate. She's messy, and I'm a neat freak. I've had enough. Plus, I got a big raise a few months ago, so now I'm fully capable of affording a place on my own. Edit. Before you judge me too harshly, let me clarify. I've been completely transparent about my intentions since day one. I've told her when I'm switching medications and might be unbearably crazy for a while. I've never lied to her and have always been honest about my lack of feelings. We haven't slept together or even shared a bed in over 6 months. I'm not saying I'm blameless, but she has a significant portion of the blame as well. Story 18. I was about 19 working at a restaurant. I had been serving for about 2 years, so I didn't completely suck, but still fairly new at it. This guy was being a complete a-hole about refilling his soda. I had already refilled it 5 times during a busy dinner rush. Maybe 5 minutes had passed since his last cup went empty, and he freaked out on me. This service is terrible. My soda has been empty for 20 minutes. I want to talk to management, blah, blah, blah. I'm not exaggerating. This guy was a complete tool. He had been a jerk all night in general, but this topped the cake. Some people pull this kind of crap just to get free stuff. Anyways, I got my manager, and he apologized to the man like the scaredy cat he was and told me to grab the guy a refill right away, which infuriated me even more. I had been busting my butt for about 7 hours at that point, so my hygiene downstairs was less than ideal. I took the guy's soda straw, and I stuck it down, generously rubbing it in and around my special area, making sure to get the good stuff towards the bottom. Then I stuck it back in his drink. Edit. I would never do anything like that anymore, and never did anything like it since. I felt pretty bad about it in retrospect. Just goes to prove that you shouldn't mess with your waitstaff, though. Also, I'm a guy, for those wondering. To those getting all huffy-puffy about it, was it the right thing to do? No. But it happened. It was 10 years ago. What do you want me to do? Invent a time machine and take it back? Also, is it my fault that it, apparently, happens a lot and everywhere? I said I felt bad about it. Just be nice to your service staff, whether you want to or not, because someday you could be stink-strawed, as another Redditor poetically put it. Story 19. I'll never forget the night I had to beat up my best friend to stop him from driving home drunk. He was completely wasted, and when he insisted on driving himself home, I tried everything I could think of to convince him not to get behind the wheel. I told him he was way too drunk to drive, that he could seriously hurt himself or someone else, but he just wouldn't listen. Worse, he refused to hand over his car keys, thinking he could still drive safely. I knew I had to do something before he got into that car and made a terrible decision. I couldn't just stand by and let him harm himself or somebody else on the road. So, I made a snap decision. I had to knock him out, hard, just to get the keys from him. I didn't want to hurt him, but at that point, it was the only way to stop him. Don't frigging drink and drive. Story 20. I locked the restroom at a bar, and a stranger wet herself. I was at a bar and had gotten up to go use the restroom. I did my business, and as I was about to exit when I noticed the lock on the door had the key in it. If you can recognize my username, then you'll know I wasn't about to let this chance pass me by. Making sure no one was paying attention, I turned the key, locking the door, and quickly slipped the key in my pocket before returning to my table. Now to make things even worse, this was the only restroom in the bar. It was unisex, and the bar was quite crowded that evening. As I sat at my table, I sipped my drink, all while keeping an eye on the door to see what would happen. For the most part, men and women would go over to the restroom, try the door, and after discovering it was locked, would assume it was being cleaned or occupied and return to their seats. However, eventually one woman approached who I had recognized already checking the door once. Now she was wiggling a bit and clearly needing to go quite badly. She stood outside the door repeatedly banging on it and calling for whoever was inside to hurry up. Unfortunately for her, no one was inside to give her any sort of response. For nearly 10 minutes, this poor woman stood outside of the locked restroom, waiting for an imaginary occupant to finish so she could relieve herself, while I sat at my table watching. Finally, I saw her stop, pee, and freeze in place with a hand over her mouth. Immediately, she left the restroom door, sprinted to her table to grab her purse, and left the bar red-faced and teary-eyed, all while a dark, wet stain was spreading across her jeans. Story 21. I had two friends who were twin sisters. One of them had a big crush on me, but I wasn't really interested in her. One night, out of the blue, her sister called me and asked if I wanted to go to a movie. I agreed, and when I picked her up, she was wearing a short skirt and boots. We spent the whole movie making out, then went back to her apartment, which she shared with her sister. There, she convinced me to be intimate with her on her sister's bed. In the middle of it, she actually called her sister to ask when she'd be home and casually mentioned that she had just returned from the movies with me. I could almost feel her sister's embarrassment through the phone. After hanging up, she looked at me and laughed, saying, "She has such a crush on you." I felt pretty awful about it at the time. That was until I ended up hooking up with the other sister 2 months later. Story 22. I hooked up with a girl for a week while hanging out with her boyfriend, acting like we didn't know each other. A year after flirting with a girl, we finally hooked up. At the time, we didn't get together because she was at university, but a year later, she came back, and I told her we had unfinished business. She agreed, and the next morning, she came over. After a passionate session, she mentioned that she had a boyfriend. I knew him, but she said she didn't like him and that he wasn't good in bed. The questionable part? We kept hooking up while all three of us were casually meeting up at the pub. She and I acted like we hadn't seen each other for a year, and our interactions were pretty minimal. I even went out drinking with them a few times, spending time with her boyfriend, all while continuing things with her. I don't feel guilty about it, though I'm sure some people would think I'm a jerk. But honestly, I don't care. Story 23. I once made a joke to a coworker that I was shagging his mother while I was off work. When he told me his mom had passed away, I smirked and responded, "Well, sometimes after a tough week, you just gotta crack open a cold one." There's a bit of backstory that makes it more morally questionable rather than outright terrible. I had been off for my 6-day-old son's heart surgery, which he knew about, but he was upset about having to step up and do more work while I was away. He confronted me with, "Where the heck were you yesterday?" And that's what led to my remark. Funny side note, 2 years later, I can still make any coworkers who know the story cringe by just air popping open a can tab. Story 24. I slept with a disabled woman to get back at her friend, who never reached out to me after a one-night stand. I also stole money from my mom multiple times, even though she doesn't have much. I regret that deeply. I took Pokemon Red from a friend because I had lost my copy. I slept with my friend's ex just a week after they broke up. One night, I did something really messed up. Me and my friends were riding around in a trolley after grabbing McDonald's, and we threw ice at an elderly woman as she walked by. I feel horrible about that. I also let a gay guy give me a blowy in prison just because I could, but I'm not gay. I let a woman with a reputation perform a similar act to get back at a friend who was infatuated with her. There was also the time I knocked on doors pretending to run a charity, but I used the money to buy cigarettes. I am not a good person. Story 25. We found out our teacher was on a dating site, took a screenshot of his profile, printed it out, and posted it all over the school. When I was in high school, we had this short teacher that everyone thought was strange and a little pervy. One day, one of the girls in my class found out he was on a dating site under the username Frodo213, I'm not kidding, and described himself as having starry eyes, being romantic, and loving basketball or something like that. When we asked her why she was browsing the dating site, she said she was just having fun looking at profiles with her friends. At first, my friend, let's call him Ben, and I didn't believe it, but when she gave us the website name, we checked, and sure enough, he was on it. Then I came up with this brilliant prank, which, looking back, was pretty cruel. We took a screenshot of his dating profile and printed it out, then sneakily hung the printouts in a few classrooms, by the entrance, and in the middle of the school cafeteria. The whole school quickly found out, and everyone had a good laugh, but the teacher was livid. They questioned a lot of the kids who often got into trouble, but nobody fessed up. That was until one of my friends, let's call him Jason, was questioned at the end of the school day. Ben and I were waiting outside for him when we saw through a window that Jason and the teacher were both coming out of the room. We stood near the entrance, and as the door opened, The teacher walked out first and said, "Good afternoon, gentlemen," before heading to his bike. Jason still hadn't come out, and I started getting a little nervous. Then, in the most unexpected move, Ben asked the teacher, "So, have you caught the guy who did it yet?" The teacher responded, "Not yet, but we know who it is now, and there will definitely be serious consequences. The school doesn't tolerate violations of my privacy." For a moment, we were terrified, but once he left, we realized he was probably bluffing. A few minutes later, Jason came outside and told us he hadn't said anything to them. After that, we never heard about it again. Story 26. I hooked up with a friend's ex, which normally wouldn't be a big deal, but the timing was pretty bad, just a day or two after they broke up. To be fair, she'd been flirting with me for months before that. At the time, my brother and I were renting a townhouse and throwing parties nearly every weekend for about 4 or 5 months. We never had any issues, no noise complaints, no cops, no trouble. But eventually, the parties got way too popular, and people I didn't know started showing up. One night, things got out of hand. There was stuffs on the table, broken bottles in the garage, spilled ashtrays all over the stairs, hookah coal burns on the carpet, and someone found my buddy's shotgun and started messing around. Some punches were thrown, and people were forcefully escorted out. Up until that point, though, the parties were pretty chill. My buddy and I would hang out all day, catch rattlesnakes, and bring them home. When people showed up, we'd feed them what we had, rattlesnake, quail, or whatever, and I'd cook, usually just pasta with homemade sauce, which wasn't anything special, but when you're drunk, anything tastes amazing. There'd be about 6 to 12 of us, mostly underage, just playing drinking games or rocking out to tunes. My buddy's girlfriend, the one who wasn't into hunting, would always be around when I was making food, commenting on how nice I was and how good the food was. I liked the attention, but would always try to hint that she was with my friend. A few months later, the party scene was dying down. I was home on a Saturday, nursing a hangover. It was past noon, so I figured I was in the clear, and she came over, which wasn't unusual. Everyone came and went pretty freely at my place. This time, though, she started flirting with me openly, and, like an idiot, I gave into the temptation. It was just once, but she broke up with my friend for good shortly after and started dating someone else we didn't really like. She ended up dropping out of the circle after that. The whole story is more complicated than that, but that's the gist of it. There were a lot of other people involved, but I've already typed way more than I intended to. Story 27. I slept with a woman I wasn't even attracted to, who my best friend had strong feelings for, and the only reason I did it was because I was drunk and depressed. I thought, maybe a little shagging will give me a quick dopamine hit. It didn't. The next morning, I woke up in the same house where my friend was sleeping, having hung out and drank with him late into the night. I was still so drunk that when I realized I was in bed with this girl, I thought, oh crap, I better get out of here or he's going to hate me. But then I thought, you know what, screw it. I went back to sleep, and of course, my friend woke up, saw what happened, and realized I was in bed with her. This was a friend I'd known since I was 6 years old, and what I did was incredibly selfish. It's the equivalent of stabbing someone for $2. It was pointless, and I gained nothing from it. I still hate myself for it, even 11 years later. And just as a fun fact, this happened a whole year before I hit my rock bottom with depression and addiction. Story 28. Me and 4 friends peed all over a girl's car. It was strangely satisfying. 2 weeks ago, I was at a party with about 20 people, an even split of guys and girls. It was a fun night, no drama or mess, except for one girl, Lily, who had a terrible attitude and kept shutting people down. We did our best to avoid her. Most people went to bed around 3 a.m., but 5 of us were still wide awake, ready to keep the night going. We decided to walk to a nearby golf course to hang out and maybe play some drunk frisbee. As we were heading out, I realized I really needed to pee. I'd had about 5 beers and 3 glasses of water at this point. I stepped off the path and found some bushes. As I was taking care of business, I happened to glance to my left. And, of course, there was Lily's car. So, in the spirit of rebellion, I aimed and started letting loose on her car. My friends caught on, and, one by one, they joined in. Within moments, 5 of us were all peeing on her car, a small act of revenge. Story 29. I had an uncle who was a drug addict, and he had this habit of constantly getting let out of jail only to get into trouble again. One time, he was trying to rob Granny's house, which honestly didn't sit well with me. He was always scheming, but this time, I had enough. I decided to mess with him a bit and teach him a lesson. So, I told him I had a one-time job that was 6 hours away and needed his help with something. He was all for it, thinking it was some easy gig, and so I got him into the car. We hit the road, and after 6 hours of driving, I pulled into a gas station. I told him to go grab some snacks, gave him $50, and told him I'd be waiting for him. As soon as he walked away, I jumped in the car and drove off, leaving him stranded at the station. Story 30. In 2009, I was laid off and spent nearly 2 years struggling to find work. Eventually, I landed a job in an industry I was passionate about, motorcycles, but they took full advantage of my desperation. I started as an operations coordinator at $11 per hour, despite having 4 years of experience as a business analyst and working directly under a VP at Citrix. I worked my ass off, and within 6 months, I was essentially doing the job of an operations manager slash analyst. I developed and supported the backbone of nearly every department's analytics. My manager, however, didn't like me. She saw me as a threat to her position. The COO, however, recognized my value, even though I was being paid practically nothing. Despite that, my manager blocked every attempt at a promotion or transfer opportunity that came my way. Departments like IT, marketing, and HR all wanted me to move to their teams after seeing the value I brought, but I was stuck. After 18 months, I had managed to push my salary up to $40,000 per year, still less than half of what my role was worth according to HR's market analysis, which the HR director even showed me after we developed a close working relationship. When she informed the COO that I was making far less than my fair market value, his response was, "So what? He makes what he makes." That only fueled my frustration and resentment toward my department, my boss, and the COO. Then, I did a favor for the warehouse manager. I built an Excel/Access time and attendance tool because the current system wasn't working for the warehouse staff. It was accurate, managed overtime, and followed labor laws, including those around lunch breaks. While testing the tool, I discovered that the company was incorrectly applying California labor laws to stores in other states. By pointing this out, I saved the company $75,000 per year. In return, I asked for a raise, considering I saved them double my salary. Their response was, "Saving the company money is part of your job. If you ask for a raise again, you'll be written up and possibly fired." That was the last straw. I found a much better job at a niche distributor in the same industry. On my way out, I contacted the Department of Labor, DOL, with receipts to inform them of severe wage theft by the company, employer intimidation and retaliation against whistleblowers, wage and job discrimination against several employees, including myself. As a result, the company was forced to pay around $2 million in back pay and $3 million in fines. Now, here's where the morally questionable part comes in. Before I left, I meticulously broke all the automation I had created. 3.5 months before my departure, I made sure that all of the critical reports I'd built were hard-coded with no formulas. When they asked me to train someone to take over, I trained them to do it manually, a process that took 20 to 30 hours per week instead of the 1 to 2 hours it used to take. A few months later, the HR director informed me that my job was posted again. This time, at a salary range of $95,000 to $110,000 per year. I immediately contacted the DOL again, sharing all the documents I had, including my responsibility/job analysis, market adjustment requests, and an email from the COO stating that she didn't think I was worth market rate because I have only one arm. Although I never saw a cent from it, the company was fined again, and the COO was fired on the spot. Screw you, Tracy. Story 31. I knew this photographer who came off as really skeezy. He claimed to be a champion for feminism, mental health, and all that, but in reality, he was a huge creep. He gave a hard time to several women who had modeled for him, even going as far as photoshopping their private boudoir photos into ads with their business logos and posting them on Twitter, among other things. I called him out for it, and instead of owning up to his actions, he attacked my place of work, a church at the time, and spun a story to make himself seem like the victim of harassment. This guy did a lot of creepy things, and honestly, there wasn't much anyone could do about it. So, I decided to take matters into my own hands. I downloaded some of his photos from social media, and used them to make him a few dating profiles. Then, I found some of the biggest, bulliest guys I could and set up dates for them to pick him up at his workplace. I also swapped my phone number for his, and a few of the guys I messaged ended up being in on the scheme and were just as eager to mess with him. Once everything was set up, I just walked away. I don't know the details of what happened next, but I do know that watching his Twitter panic and meltdown was absolutely priceless. Story 32. I was let go from my first job for making my boss look bad. I finished my daily tasks too quickly, and I wasn't shy about pointing out the inefficiency in the division. He needed to make an example of me to keep others in line. So, when the company asked me to come in for an exit interview, I didn't have much to say, except that they should follow my boss outside during lunch if they wanted to witness something interesting. Turns out, he was arrested for possession and distribution of drugs. He got a year in jail and pretty much ruined his life. About 3 months after he got out, I ran into him at a mall, and he told me I ruined his life. I replied, "You had me fired for trying to make the company better, cheers." I did feel bad that he ended up doing time and looked like hell, but it is what it is. Story 33. I hired a guy to replace me at my job, and he turned out to be a total asshole. He was showing his Prince Albert to co-workers and guests who didn't want to see it, throwing things at the cooks to get them to hurry up, stealing merchandise, doing coke and drinking on the clock, and berating the staff. It got so bad the company asked me to come back to cover his shifts while they fired him. The guy's girlfriend's housemate, who also worked with us, told me they were out, and she had access to his car. After work one night, a few of us got tipsy and decided to mess with it. We opened his car and found a bunch of stolen merch. People started peeing in it, and one girl even tried to take a crap in his shoes, though she didn't actually go through with it. But that still didn't feel like enough. So, I took some halibut from the freezer at her place, popped off the panel on the car's door threshold, cut a slit in the carpet, slid the fish in, and popped the panel back on. You couldn't even tell, and it took less than 2 minutes. My coworkers were all watching, and one of them said, "Damn, man." Diabolical. Much celebrating and drinking followed. A few months later, I ran into a former coworker. He asked, "Hey, whatever happened to his car?" Turns out, after I left, they had a small heat wave, and his car smelled like death, like the sloth scene from Seven. He had air fresheners hanging all over the place and was driving around with his head out the window like Ace Ventura. He had his car detailed 4 times, but it never improved. Then, his girlfriend detailed the car, and when she got to the spot where I'd hidden the fish, she pressed on the carpet with the vacuum, and maggots started pouring out. They thought a mouse had gotten in and died. It was pretty satisfying revenge for the guy who messed with my colleagues and regulars I really liked. Story 34. I wiped the hard drive on the work desktop. All the tools, spreadsheets, databases, and how-to guides needed to do the job were just gone in an instant. I had literally written the manual on how to do that job, how the training was delivered, and how systems were implemented across the company. Most of it I had to do on my own time since it was considered a waste of time. I automated processes that used to take hours, improving efficiency from 13% to 98%. But when it was finally time for the promotion they promised me, they hired someone new and told me I had to train them. So, I pulled the plug on everything and handed in my notice. Less than 3 months after I left, the department collapsed because no one knew how to do anything without me, and there was no backup or support. It was a bit of corporate espionage, but honestly, screw them. Story 35. This story takes place about 4 years ago when I was just starting my freshman year of college. My roommate had started seeing a girl from a nearby college, who I actually knew from high school. After a few dates, he managed to convince her to come stay with us for a night in our dorm. I guess she had teased him, saying they'd hook up once she had the chance to stay over. The night finally arrives, and my roommate is pumped. He's really into this girl. We all head to a house party a friend is throwing down the street. And while we're there, his lady friend bails and goes to another party with her friends, where she ends up hooking up with one of our older teammates, who had no idea who she was. It turns out, she had stalked this guy on Facebook and planned to come to our school just to get with him. She needed a backup plan in case she didn't get him. What a move. My roommate is devastated but way too nice to confront her or our older teammate the next day. Me? Not so much. I don't like seeing my roommate upset, and I'm not as forgiving as he is. Here's where the questionable part comes in. She left her regular clothes behind at our dorm, including a pair of ridiculously expensive knee-high boots. My roommate, being the saint he is, was about to walk 8 blocks to our older teammate's house to deliver her clothes so she could take the train back to her school. Hell no. I snatched the stuff out of his hands. I'm bigger than him, and distance runners are like small, helpless children. I ran into the bathroom, locked the door, and he started pounding on it, yelling at me, but it was too late. I took a disgustingly massive crap in her left boot. To give you some context, I'd eaten 2 whole double-wrapped burritos from Chipotle the night before and had been drinking heavily. What happened next was waiting for her in that boot. I walked out with a grin, and my roommate panicked for a second. But after realizing there was no way to undo it, he agreed to just leave her stuff outside the dorm for her to pick up herself. We never heard from her again, but I like to think that, hungover and tired, she stumbled back to the dorm, slipped her foot right into that boot, and got a nice surprise. Thanks to Natty Ice and Chipotle. Story 36. At 18, I was a well-paid boy toy to a sugar mama, earning $10,000 a week along with a free mother-in-law suite where all utilities and groceries were covered. She offered me this arrangement to keep me in her life because I couldn't commit to a relationship due to various stressors, and she was lonely too. Her only request was banging or cuddling daily, which I didn't mind at all. She was incredibly attractive. I'm not saying it was right, acceptable, or something I'm particularly proud of, but the biggest reason I did it was to escape my very toxic parents' house. I've always felt I took advantage of her loneliness, but there's a happy ending to this story. Once my stress cleared up and we got to know each other better, we ended up in a very loving relationship. Story 37. My ex-husband was a serial cheater. I stayed loyal for so long, went to marriage counseling multiple times, and did everything I could to make him happy. But the last time I caught him cheating, something inside me just broke. I didn't feel any love for him anymore, just pure hatred. So, I decided to start cheating too, but not with strangers. Over the course of a year, I slept with every single one of his close friends. I thought about telling him when we finally ended things. The look on his face would have been incredibly satisfying, but I kept it to myself. Now, seeing him still hanging out with those very men, who were more than willing to sleep with his wife, is all the satisfaction I need. Story 38. I knowingly slept with a coworker for about 4 to 5 months, even though she had a boyfriend at home. I had just been through a breakup where I'd been cheated on repeatedly, and I think I wanted to experience the other side. It felt good to be the one who was wanted for a change, so I didn't care about the other guy. Eventually, it all fell apart. She lost her job, and I nearly lost mine. The only thing that saved me was staying calm and never reacting impulsively. She, however, took our reprimands as an excuse to stir up drama with senior members of the company, and she was out within weeks. They ended up reconciling, and a month later, she texted me asking to get back together. Her boyfriend saw the text and broke up with her again. In the end, I lost nothing, while she lost her home, her job, and her boyfriend of 6 years. Story 39. I reported my ex-mother-in-law to her employer and the State Board of Nursing because she's a huge bigot. I had known about her views for years, and by the end of my marriage, I hated visiting her house because she was just a truly awful person. However, I kept my distance for the sake of her daughter. Recently, I found out she had tried convincing my ex-wife to take me to court for half of my assets, full custody, and part of my retirement fund, even though my ex and I had already come to an agreement and signed the divorce papers. Once I found out, I gathered all her racist, bigoted, and transphobic social media posts, printed them, and sent them to her workplace's HR department and the State Board of Nursing. She's now under investigation. Good riddance. Story 40. About a year ago, I found myself experimenting with different types of underwear. I had been a diehard boxers guy throughout my entire puberty, but they just weren't giving me the support I needed anymore. I tried boxer briefs before, but none of them really offered any better security than my old boxers. So, despite my 90s upbringing telling me briefs were uncool, I decided to take the plunge and give them a try. I went to my local Target and picked up a 2-pack of their higher-end brand briefs. And let me tell you, they were the best underwear I had ever worn. Perfect fit, plenty of support, all while still offering great range of motion and climate control. Right then and there, I made up my mind that I was going back to buy a bulk supply. The next day, I headed to the Target closest to my house. But to my surprise, they were out of the brand. I don't mean just my size was out, the entire rack was empty. I figured other guys must have discovered how amazing these briefs were and grabbed them all. So I drove a little farther to the next target. But when I got there, the same thing happened, empty racks. I asked one of the store clerks if there were any in the back or if they knew when the next shipment would arrive, but they had no idea and told me to check back next week. By now, I was getting frustrated, so I decided to take my search online. I got home, grabbed the packaging for the underwear, and visited the brand's website. I found the exact pair I wanted in my size, plus a few colors I didn't even know existed. I loaded up my cart and tried to check out, but then a pop-up appeared saying, "We are currently out of supply," with no indication of when they would be restocked. At that point, I was more than put out. I was genuinely pissed. After spending 2 months trying different brands of underwear, I finally found the perfect pair, and now it seemed like the universe was conspiring against me in my quest for the perfect fitting briefs. But I wasn't going to back down. I was determined to get these underwear, because I'm a damn American, and nothing should stand in the way of my right to buy whatever I want. I paused for a second and thought, maybe the brand and the manufacturer were different. So, I figured I'd track down the manufacturer directly and find out how I could get my hands on these amazing garments. I even joked to myself, I'll buy a whole pallet if that's what it takes. How foolish I was. I scoured the brand's website for any hint of the manufacturer's info, but found nothing. So, I turned back to the packaging, hoping for some clue. And that's when I saw where they were made. Bangladesh. Why does that sound familiar? I thought. Then it hit me. I'd heard something on the news about Bangladesh just that week. A quick Google search later, and I learned about the 2013 Savar building collapse in Bangladesh. TLDR, I found the underwear of my dreams, but hundreds of people died to get them to me. I unknowingly perpetuated the market for blood underwear. Story 41. For our high school senior trip, the school always took us to a ski resort a few hours away. My friends and I had zero interest in spending hours crammed on a bus with teachers breathing down our necks, so we decided to drive up ourselves. The real reason? We wanted to bring alcohol and didn't want to risk not being able to get any, since, you know, we were all underage. At first, it was just our little group planning to sneak in a stash for the trip, but word spread fast. Soon, classmates started approaching us, asking if we could grab booze for them too. It snowballed. People were willing to pay double, even triple the price, just to secure their orders. What started as a small, low-key smuggling mission quickly turned into something way bigger. Realizing how much demand there was, we got bold. We rented a van to haul everything, because, at this point, we were looking at over $3,000 worth of alcohol. And instead of keeping it low-key, we got cocky. We started openly telling seniors what we were doing, racking up more and more requests. By the time we were done taking orders, we were set to bring in over $5,000 worth of booze. We felt like absolute masterminds. And then came frigging Jillian. Jillian only wanted a 12-pack, nothing crazy. We didn't think twice about taking her order. But the night before the trip, she was sitting at dinner with her family, and they started lecturing her about the dangers of underage drinking and how kids get caught trying to buy from liquor stores. Jillian, in all her wisdom, reassured them. Don't worry, some kids at school are taking orders and bringing booze for us. Frigging Jillian. Her parents immediately called the school and spilled everything. The next morning, I got called into the office because, of course, Jillian had come to me for her order. The administration lost it. I was looking at full-blown expulsion, and if my mom hadn't begged the principal for leniency, I would have been kicked out of school. There was even talk of a criminal case, but luckily, we hadn't actually bought the booze yet. So there was no hard evidence. I took the fall and never ratted out my three co-conspirators. Ended up with 7 days of suspension, 3 additional in-school suspension days, and got banned from the grad trip entirely. On top of that, I became my vice principal's personal errand boy, stocking the cafeteria, cleaning the smoke pit, running whatever pointless tasks she could think of. The entire senior trip got delayed by 2 days because of us. The school held a full-blown assembly to lecture everyone on the dangers of underage drinking and to publicly shame our scandalous operation. At the end of the day, I walked away with a hell of a story and one important lesson. Never trust Jillian. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.
Saving money right now at Menards. lights, from smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more. Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.